Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Joe Hallett first hit town in 1985, eager to start covering state government and politics for the Blade of Toledo. He was a greenhorn, but he'd figured it out. He'd figure it out, he thought. 2 weeks later, the savings and loan crisis exploded all over the place, and he learned a thing or two he never imagined. He joins me now today at the end of his 42-year journalism career. We're going to take a look back at where it started in his hometown of Wasion and where it's taken him around the world. Welcome back to the show, Joe.
Thank you, Ann. It's really kind of you to do this show.
Oh, well, you know.
Undeserved, for sure.
42 years. And I've been telling people, you've really covered state government and politics your entire career because you started out as a reporter and then quickly editor of your hometown newspaper, and your publisher liked you to cover state politics.
Yeah, I was I went back to, after OU and a stint in the Army, I went back to Wasion, my hometown, farm community in Northwest Ohio, and got a job at the local newspaper. At that time, it was the Wasion Republican and the Fulton County Expositor. They published on Tuesday and Thursday. The Republican was a Republican-oriented paper, and the Expositor was a Democratic-oriented paper. So on Tuesday, I was a Republican. On Thursday, I was a Democrat. But yeah, it was wonderful training because, you know, when I started, I didn't know anything about anything. But all of a sudden, you're cast into covering township ditch hearings and village council meetings and county commissioners and sports. I took photos. I mean, it was really kind of a dangerous job because not only did I write the stories and take the pictures, I edited my own stories and wrote the headlines and laid out the pages. So it was great training for 9 years. And
that's a long time to stay at a small newspaper.
Well, I stayed there because, one, I really loved my town, but and I had so much family and so many friends up there, which made the job kind of tough because it's sometimes a lot more personal at a small-town newspaper than it is at a big city newspaper because you know practically everybody you're writing about. And
particularly since you grew up there.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how many times I got calls from people I know, even friends, who would say, you know, I got picked up for DUI last night, and
can you keep it out of the paper?
Can you keep it out of the paper? And, you know, you just have to tell them no, that it all goes in. I stayed there because I had an option to buy the paper, and if I had succeeded, I never would have left. The publisher became ill. I think he hired me because I had dated his daughter all through high school, and we got along so famously, but he became terminally ill. He got Lou Gehrig's disease, and he said he needed to see what he could get on the market for the paper. I had the option to match, but the offer was so high that there was no way. So I was lucky enough to be hired by the Blade, which is about 40 miles down the road in Toledo.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest is Joe Hallett. He's a senior editor for the Columbus Dispatch. He first came to town in 1985 for the Blade of Toledo, and he's ending his 42-year journalism career. I think on Sunday is your last column. Next week's your last week.
That's correct.
And we're talking to him today, looking back over time and considering the changes in the business and in his life as his career progressed. If you have a question or comment for Joe, and for those of you out here there who know Joe and want to tell us a story about Joe as a member of the Ohio State House Legislative Correspondents Association, you're welcome to do so, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Of course, the Ohio Legislative Correspondents Association rolls off my tongue so easily because I was a member of it with Joe, full disclosure time now. When I first moved to Columbus, I worked with Joe for 8 years in the Blade Bureau, so there you go.
We had about a nine-year run as a two-person bureau. And you should know that Ann is a great colleague, a really fine journalist, a good person, and a heck of a lot of fun.
Checks in the mail. when I started at The Blade in 1987, I heard about you, but you were gone by then. You'd been gone for 2 years, but I always heard about Joe Hallett and his Homeless series. You won a lot of awards for it, and it really brought you to the fore in terms of the attention of the publisher of The Blade and so forth. Tell us about that.
Well, I was covering City Hall. I think it was 1983 or 84. I can't remember. I was covering City Hall for The Blade. And I had been gone to a couple of mayor's conferences, one in particular, one in Philadelphia. And I started to notice all these homeless people just living in boxes on the streets and sleeping on these grates to keep warm on the sidewalks. And later I went to a conference in Washington, and some senators had a hearing on the homeless, and they did it in a homeless shelter, and I went over and really got exposed to the problem of homelessness. And so when I went back to Toledo, I started just to pay attention, and I noticed that this city had quite a number of homeless people, quite a number of people living on the street. And I felt compelled to do something, so I went into the managing editor's office, and I told him I wanted to do some stories on the homeless, and I thought that the best way I could do that would be to become one of them. And he really liked the idea, and he said, "You're too clean cut. You can't pull it off. You can't disguise yourself as a homeless person." And he says, "I'm going to ask another reporter," who apparently was a little more scruffy than me. And so he did, and which, you know, upset me because I wanted, and the other reporter didn't want to do it. So he says, "Okay, you have to, you know, before I send you out there, you have to pass a test and, you know, you have to look homeless." So I went home, and for about 4 days, I didn't shave and I didn't shower. And needless to say, my wife wouldn't sleep with me. she drove me down to Toledo. And just before I got out of the car, I doused myself with a little brandy. A little bit of it accidentally seeped into my mouth. Mm-hmm. And so I walked into the managing editor's office, and he looked up from his desk with this look of alarm on his face, thinking, "How did this guy get in there?" And finally it dawned on him who I was. And he says, "Oh my gosh," he says, "you pass. Be careful out there." So I went out for the better part of a week and slept on park benches, and I slept in a couple of missions and ate at the soup kitchens and learned how to panhandle with homeless people. And it was really pretty dangerous. It was kind of interesting because I think my disguise was so good. My first cousin was an attorney. And one morning I saw him walking into the Lucas County Courthouse, and I walked up to him and panhandled him, and he just brushed me aside. He didn't recognize me. And, you know, so later I told him, you know, how callous he was, and he said, "What are you talking about?" And
well, I remember you walking with you many times downtown Columbus. You always gave.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for.
But do you think it's
sucker,
being a sucker? But did it something? You learned that week?
Yeah. What you learn about the homeless is they're overwhelmingly substance addicted or mentally ill. And that was shortly after, you know, in the 70s, we had that new policy of deinstitutionalization.
And a recession.
Yeah. And so there were a lot of people out there. And when they let a lot of folks out of the mental institutions, some of them had family to go to, but others didn't. And they ended up on the streets. And so you found high incidence of mental illness, of substance addiction. And, you know, I would these people would panhandle, and you could buy a bottle of MD-2020 wine at the drugstore for about $1. And so we would panhandle and go buy a bottle of wine. And I shared this, you know, would share wine with these guys. Later, my doctor read the stories, and he called me up, and he said, "You get in here right now." He says, "We're going to give you a shot," because he said there's a high incidence of hepatitis among the street people, and we want to make sure you're okay. But yeah, it was I was real proud of that series. It had a big impact on, I think, opening people's eyes to the problem, and also changed policy in Toledo. And
how so?
Well, I think policy in that the city and a lot of nonprofits really began to focus on the problem of homelessness and allocating money for more beds and more job outreach, I think. And so it had a pretty positive impact. I remember when I tried to beg people for money, panhandle, I was 0 for 19, because I just went up to people and asked them for money. You know, "Sir, can I have some money? Do you have a dollar?" And one day I ended up with this really drunk guy. He was Native American. He was from Minnesota. He was very menacing looking, had a deep scar on his face. And I frankly was scared of him. But I told him, I was having no luck at panhandling. And he said, "You know, if you're going to have any success, you need to tell him a story." And I said, "What do you mean?" So he said, "You just don't go ask him for money.
I'm on a bus ride to get a job for a job interview."
So
that,
you know,
kind of a thing, you mean?
After I got away from him, I walked up to the first person I saw, a woman, and I said, it was at the old Portside Festival Marketplace. And
on the Maumee River in downtown Toledo.
And I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I'm homeless, and I just got word that my sister in Columbus is very ill, and I, don't have any money to get there, and if you can help me with some bus fare," it was all made up, of course, "I sure would appreciate it." And she gave me $5. And so after that, I was like 100% when I panhandled people. So it might be instructive for people on the, walking down the street, but...
It worked.
Yeah, it did.
My guest is Joe Hallett, senior editor for the Columbus Dispatch, soon to be retiree. Mm-hmm. He's spent 42 years in the journalism business, his entire career, and a lot of it covering state government and politics. He moved to Columbus in 1985, worked for the Toledo Blade for about 10 years and at the Bureau here, and then moved on to the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and then finally to the Columbus Dispatch. We'll continue our conversation with Joe Hallett when we return. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm talking with Columbus Dispatch senior editor Joe Hallett, veteran Ohio political journalist. Has been covering state government and politics in one form or another, certainly public affairs, for 42 years, the entire time of his career. If you have a question for him, if you have a comment, if you have a memory of Joe, there's lots of Statehouse reporters out there who know Joe. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Joe is retiring after next week, and we were lucky enough to get him on for an hour today. Carol Looper in Bexley. Hi, Carol.
Good morning, Ann Fisher and Joe Hallett. Just had to put in my two cents on what a great reporter he has been all these years and how much retirement is wonderful.
Well, thank you, Carol. I certainly admire the work you did for so many years here.
On television, of course.
On television. And you were just a fabulous reporter, and I was really crushed when you retired.
I miss you, Carol.
Oh, thank you. Well, I am busy and enjoying retirement very much. There is nothing to say that I won't dip my toe back in somewhere along the way, but I have enjoyed Joe, and I know bumping into you a couple of months ago at lunch was a thrill for me to be able to see you in person instead of looking at you on my computer. Good thing that you all can't look back at the moment.
Try not to think about it. So.
Well, we television reporters, of course, were very responsible for contact lenses in every day and makeup and hair and all of that.
Yeah.
And, of course, the dispatch and radio reporters, not so much, except that we can watch you live on streaming right now. But, Joe, I want to wish you the best. And people kept saying to me, well, there is life after television reporting. As much as I miss it, there is life.
Well, thank you. A lot of people, when I tell them I'm retiring, look at me almost incredulously and say, well, what are you going to do? Like, you know, they expect me to keep working. And I say, well, how about nothing?
I can't imagine you doing nothing anymore than I could imagine me doing nothing. And people call. And I'm still in touch with all of my buddies at the station and occasionally pass along a story or a story idea or two. So you, as I did, are going on a high note with respect. And it's your choice, as it was my choice. And I just am very happy to have known you and read you and will read with great anticipation your last couple of columns.
Thank you so much, Carol.
That's Carol Looper, retired television reporter, longtime reporter in Columbus. Thank you, Carol, so much for that. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I want to take another Carol in Mansfield. She's got a question I have, and it's a good one. Carol in Mansfield, you're on the air with Joe Hallett. Welcome.
Thank you, Ann, and good morning to Joe. And I was a Columbus resident for 40 years, but we continue to take the dispatch here in Mansfield. And I want to say goodbye, Joe. You've been great. The other question I do have you ever been discouraged with politics in your career?
Well, thank you so much for that kind thought. I love readers like you, and I will miss readers like you. Yes, and it's really only been fairly recently. I never thought about retiring. I thought I'd die with my boots on, but lately, I'd say just in the last 4 or 5 years, I've kind of turned a little sour on politics. And I've been lucky enough to go everywhere and cover everything when it comes to politics. But in the recent years, it's really gotten so polarized and so nasty. I mean, personally nasty. You really don't want to read a lot of my emails from readers after columns. That's not to say I don't get a lot of very nice ones, but, you know, people who really don't know much about you can say the nastiest things.
And it's not just readers.
No. No, I mean, it's the politicians. When I came down here in 85, we had, I think, very effective government. And I think for most of my tenure here, we've had effective government because, we didn't have term limits. I think that even though at one time I was for term limits, I've come to see that they don't work. And, I think government and politics has become the only endeavor that I can think of where we don't value experience. And I think, you know, how foolish it is to, we have a $60 billion 2-year state budget, and it takes new lawmakers 2 years to find the state house bathrooms, let alone the intricacies of a budget. I remember veteran members of the Finance Committee, Pat Sweeney comes to mind, when department heads would come in and talk about state representative.
State representative, but yeah. A leader in the House.
Yeah. Department heads would come in and talk about their budgets and to the legislature, to the budget committees, and Pat Sweeney had been around. He knew their budgets better than they did and could, you know, really hold them accountable. Now I don't see that so much. And the other thing that's happened is we have gerrymandered the state so much that we have effectively eliminated general elections and elected our representatives from primaries. And so if you're a Republican, you have to be concerned about a primary from the right. If you're a Democrat, you have to be concerned about a primary from the left. And we've really cut out the middle, which I think is the most effective place for good government in our politics and in our government. I've long said and written that I think we right now have a state legislature that is not representative of the state of Ohio. It's more representative of a narrow slice of Ohio. But and I think as a result of that, we don't have the old friendships and relationships among lawmakers that existed when I arrived.
Carol,
so kind of a long-winded
answer. No, I was going to say, though, that they switch back and forth between the House and the Senate. When their terms run out, they just switch you know, houses if they're lucky. But so it's amazing how many people I still know in the General Assembly, but every year there's fewer and fewer. Carolyn Mansfield, thank you so much for that call. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest is Joe Hallett, veteran Ohio political journalist, senior editor at the Columbus Dispatch, and soon-to-be retiree. If you know Joe, if you want to know Joe, if you have a question or comment for him, give us a call, 614-292-8513. John in Columbus, welcome to the show. John, tell us who you are. I know you're a retired judge.
Yeah, John Bender.
How are you? Hi, John.
Good
hey,
to see
John.
You. Hi, Joe. I just wanted to congratulate you and tell you you're the best reporter in all my years of state government on the bench that I ever ran into.
Now, you, John Bender, we knew you, John Bender, back in the day, right, Joe?
Oh, absolutely. I knew John when he was counsel for Secretary of State Bob Taft,
right.
And he was absolutely the best.
You returned phone calls, John.
He did, and he was even-handed and just very thoughtful, and he ended up to make a great judge.
Well, I didn't call to get a compliment. I called to give you one, because I think, Joe, you had a more intimate knowledge of the common sense of this of the people of this state than anybody around, and that's because I think you came from a small town originally.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think growing up, I had great parents. My mother died when I was a senior in high school, so that was tough. But she had a tremendous influence on my life. And, I just grew up with so many friends. So many of them are still friends, fishing buddies and skiing buddies and that sort of thing. But, John, you know, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, I wrote a column and I said, judges tend to be arrogant and pompous. That, of course, excluded you.
Well, I appreciate that, Joe.
Oh, man. John, thank you for the call.
No problem.
Take
Thanks
care.
A lot, John.
Joe, hope we run into each other.
Okay, I'd look okay. forward to that.
Me too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. How many years were you in the regular state house press corps? I'm trying to think. 85 to.
Well, yeah, I was.
Like 2005.
Probably. I mean, I've been a member of the Legislative Correspondents Association since 85. Mm-hmm. In more recent years, I went over to the Dispatch in 99 as the politics editor.
Okay.
And so I wasn't covering day-to-day legislative sessions like I had been for years.
And a lot of times it seemed kind of redundant. We would sit there and say, we've heard this one before. After a while, it's certainly not when you first get there, you don't. But when you first arrived in 1985, you were whisked away on the adventure of the savings and loan crisis.
I was. I was at the Blade Bureau for 2 weeks. And
which was a one-man bureau at the time.
Yes, before they were smart enough to send you down. And I got a call. I remember my brother was teaching out in West Jefferson, and I was staying out there with him before my family moved down. And I got a call at 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was the late Brian Usher, the press secretary for Governor Celeste. And he said, can you be at the airport in an hour? And, you know, I was pretty groggy. I said, what's going on, Brian? And he said, I can't tell you, but can you be at the airport in an hour? And I said, well, you know, why? He said, I guarantee if you make it, you're going to have a big story. So I hurriedly dressed. I remember I put on one brown sock and one black sock. And, you know, made it to the airport in time and happened to get on the bus, on the plane with Celeste and four other State House reporters. And we flew to Cincinnati and then to Cleveland. And he closed the 71 state insured savings and loans to stem a run on deposits. It became the biggest banking crisis since the Great Depression. And for the next 6 months, I lived that story, did it, you know, as a one-person bureau, and worked on godly hours, which was okay because my family hadn't moved down then yet. And it was really, for me, a short course in how government works because there was so much legislative action, administrative action, occurring on an emergency basis that might have taken years for me to observe otherwise, but it was compressed. And really, I think I saw government at its best. We had a Democratic governor.
Dick Celeste.
Right, a Democratic speaker, Vernal Reif, and Paul Gilmore, a Republican from Port Clinton, was the Senate president, and he was ably assisted by Dick Finan and Stanley Aronoff and other Republican leaders. And Bill Batchelder at the time was a minority Republican in the House. He was he's Speaker of the House now. But they all came together, and they set aside partisanship, and they worked out a solution to, one, get these 71 savings and loans back open under new ownership, and to make sure that the depositors didn't lose a dime. And it was terrific. I remember Bill Batchelder. They had, you know, he was a constitutional scholar, and they asked Bill to write the so-called bailout bill. And Bill said, you know, I'm philosophically opposed to this taxpayer bailout, but I will write the bill, but I'm going to vote against it. And he did, and he crafted a great bill, and it passed. He voted against it. But, I mean, that was really statesmanship. And, you know, it was really an uncommon time. I was really fortunate to be an observer back then.
Gloria in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Joe. You don't know me, but we're both alumni from Wauseon High School.
And, oh, my gosh.
I actually graduated several years before you, but I do remember an article in the local paper about your visit with our history teacher, Ada K. Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't she a wonderful teacher?
She was. She was... 8th grade history teacher for me. I'm not sure about you, but We used to say she was married to Captain John Smith. But
the guy who founded,
you know, yeah, way back when. And yeah, right. But yeah, we were lucky, Gloria, to have a teacher like her. We got a great education, I think, in Waseon. I was not a serious student and went on to be living proof that anybody can graduate from college. But we had great teachers, and it was a wonderful town to grow up in, wasn't it?
Yeah, and she made history so interesting that we always look forward to her tests, you know, because she always prepared us so well for them. And you know. But anyway, just wanted to say that because I just remember that from years ago. And I want to say I hope you enjoy your retirement, Joe.
Well, thank you so much, Gloria.
Thanks, Gloria, for the
call. Go Indians.
Yes, right, right.
Okay, thanks, take care. My guest is Joe Hallett, veteran Ohio political journalist. He is a senior editor at the Columbus Dispatch now. He's worked at the Toledo Blade for many years. He worked for the Cleveland Plain Dealer and then has wound it up at the Columbus Dispatch. He retires after next week. I am going to ask him about the blue mouth gum incident when we return. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest this hour is Joe Hallett. He is the senior editor at the Columbus Dispatch. You read his columns every week. You read his articles, particularly during those presidential years when all of the world is focused on Columbus. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a call, and then I want to get to an email. Karen in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome, Karen.
Hi, I wanted to say best wishes to Joe in his retirement, and I wanted to also tell you, Joe, that my husband, Bill Wilkins, was in state government for a really long time and always talks about his respect for you and your writing. I just wanted to let you know that you have Bill's admiration as well.
Well, it's a mutual admiration society because I know Bill well, and I think he was, wasn't he budget director at?
Yes, yeah. He did. Yeah, he was director of OBM, Administrative Services, and then back in the Taft administration too, but he began with Jim Rhodes.
Yeah, I recall that he began with Jim Rhodes, which was shortly before I arrived. But I did get to know him through the Taft administration, and he was always highly respected. I mean, he, I think, is in a long line of very good budget directors that this state has been blessed to have. I think Bill and Bill Shakurdy and, some of them escaped me, but even now Tim Keene for the Kasich administration is very well thought of. So we've been a state
Greg,
that has some, Greg Browning, mm-hmm. He was very good for Voinovich. Mm-hmm. And I think Bill, your husband, and the others really kept our state in good financial shape. They were great stewards of the budget, and I'm grateful to hear that he thinks I'm okay.
Karen, thanks a lot for that call. We appreciate it. 614-292-8513 if you want to give us a call and reminisce with Joe. This is an email from Maggie. Ask Joe about the blue mouth gum incident while interviewing a legislator. Now, I don't think you've ever told me this, or if you have, I've locked it away, but Maggie's unlocking it now, so tell us about the blue mouth
gum. Maggie is my daughter. She lives over in Upper Arlington with her husband and son, my grandson, and she is still the best thing that ever happened to me. And one morning, it was 1988, And I was covering the U.S. Senate campaign between George Voinovich, the mayor of Cleveland, and Howard Metzenbaum. And they were going to be at the hotel at Hyatt Regency at the same time. And so I was getting ready for work, and Maggie was getting ready for school. She was probably in grade school. And she said, "Dad, I got some new gum. You want some?" And I said, "Sure, I'll take some." And she gave me a couple of sticks. And because I had told her I was going to go interview these two guys running for Senate. One of them was a senator. So I get down there, and there was both of the senators met there just in the hallway and exchanged pleasantries. And then they separated, and their big gaggles of reporters around them. And, you know, it was in the morning, and I had some coffee, and I'm thinking, oh, I better, you know, stick this gum in my mouth and just freshen up a little bit. And so I'm standing there, and there's, you know, a TV reporter, of course, and female TV reporters tend to be pretty good looking, and she and her cameraman are standing across from me. And she's kind of making eyes at me.
So
you know?
You're smiling.
Yeah, she's smiling at me. And I'm thinking, wow, what's this all about? And pretty soon she smiles more, and then she jabs her cameraman, and he looks up, and they both look at each other and laugh a little bit. And I'm thinking, what are they laughing about? What's going on here? So... So later, when the press conference was over, I noticed some other people were looking at me. I went into the bathroom. I looked in the mirror. My daughter had given me this trick gum, which caused my lips, my tongue, and my mouth to turn blue.
God love you, Maggie.
It was so embarrassing, but she still gets a kick out of that story. Me too.
She still gets a kick out of that one. Okay. Email from George. Gallup polls on public trust in institutions rank journalists and the news media with record low at 23%. Why do you think a majority of people do not trust news media?
Well, I hear a lot from people who say all the, you know, the damn media, that, you know, you can't trust the media and all that. And I usually try to get them to delineate who they're talking about. And I think that, and maybe I'm deluding myself, that people have more respect for newspapers than they might for cable television. And I think they trust newspapers, particularly mainstream newspapers, more than they might a cable station, because in this era of polarized journalism, I mean, we have point of view journalism with Fox and MSNBC, and to a lesser degree, but still exists with CNN, and people pick sides. They if, you know, if you're conservative, you go to Fox. If you're liberal, you go to MSNBC, and you get your point of view affirmed. And so I think it causes the other sides not to trust the media in general. And I know a lot of people pick on the New York Times as liberal and the Washington Post as liberal. Those newspapers are, I don't know what our country would do without those newspapers. I mean, they have exposed so much, I don't know, injustice, government abuse, so many things in society that need to be corrected. And without those kind of newspapers, and I think the Columbus Dispatch as well, watching government, watching society, it's just an indispensable service. And I know myself, you know, if I write a story, it is, before it ever makes it into the paper, it is vetted by at least four or five people. I mean, the copy desk, you know, it's read multiple times on the copy desk to make sure it's factual.
That it all makes sense.
That it makes sense, mm-hmm. that it is even-handed. And, you know, senior editors like Alan Miller, the managing editor, Ben Marison, the editor, two great newsroom leaders, you know, often look it over, too, just to make sure that the tone is not prejudicial and so forth. So there's a lot more vetting that happens at newspapers than I think you'll see on blogs and you know, you really don't know what sources of information you can trust too much anymore. But I do think that people trust newspapers more than, and I think in outfits like WSU than they might cable networks and so forth.
Email from Tom. As my retirement gift to you, I'll let what happened in Wasion stay in Wasion. Best wishes and see you soon. Okay.
That could be my brother. I have a brother named Tom. And
I have a feeling it is. It feels like Tom.
He could really ruin my reputation if he wanted to, more so than it already has been.
Okay. It's not your brother, but it's an old friend, I think.
Okay.
Email from Martha. She's raising an issue that, you know, I might not have asked it in quite the same way, but it's kind of the what are you doing after retirement. She says, hi, neighbor. Now that you will have time, how about a run for Westerville City Council? Strike a blow for good government. Point being, do you have any structured plans? I hope not, personally, as a friend, but do you have any structured plans?
Not really. I am going to Mike Curtin, who's a state lawmaker now and former associate publisher of the Dispatch and one of my idols in this business, wrote the Ohio Politics Almanac, which is the Bible on Ohio politics, and he has asked me to update it. So I'll be working with Kent State to update a new version of that. Okay. And I've had a book rattling around my head for about 35 years. I'm going to write that. I'm going to spend more time with my grandson and maybe take two fishing trips, do some traveling, and hang out with you a little more and, you know, just kind of enjoy things, I think.
Email from Tim. Congrats to Joe. I'm very proud to have been a colleague of both Joe and Ann. Thank you, Tim, for that. The best compliment I can pay Joe is that you will hear people in Columbus complain he's too liberal, and a few minutes later, you'll hear someone say he's too conservative. The mark of a great political reporter. Now enjoy being a fabulous grandpa. I think that's probably Tim Miller.
Yeah, Tim Miller, who for many years was with the Dayton Daily News. He's now with Fallgren, and he was a terrific journalist and a wonderful friend, and it's very nice to hear that from him.
Thanks for listening, Tim. Lisa in Toledo, you're on the air. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Ann. This is Lisa Pat McDaniel. I'm actually driving to Toledo, so that's why I get to hear you today.
Okay.
And I just wanted to say, Joe, you know, I've been on the other side of the table from you when I was at the States, and I met you when I was 22, when I first came to Columbus, and I just have always been impressed about however long you were doing journalism, you actually cared about what was going on. And I just want you to know, I want to be you when I grow up.
Lisa, I hope that doesn't happen, but, yeah. You know.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're going to write a book, because I was going to beg you to do that on air. And I could sit and listen to your anecdotes for hours. And so I'm glad you're retiring, so maybe we can do that.
Well, I probably have some about you, Lisa. Lisa was the Ohio Development Director under Governor Strickland, but I first got to know her many years ago, shortly after I arrived, when she worked for Lieutenant Governor Paul Leonard on the state local government commission.
Yeah.
And had a lot of fun back in those days, and have off and on worked with Lisa for most of my years at the State House. So it's been a terrific relationship, and I always had great respect for the job you did and your intellect and everything else, Lisa. So thanks so much.
Lisa, thanks for that call. We appreciate it. Someone out there wants to know what the book's going to be about, and I don't know if you want to talk about that or not.
Well,
I think it's the one you've talked with me about before.
Yeah, yep. I can talk
great
a little
idea.
Bit about it. It's going to be fiction based on my early years as a newspaper reporter in Wauseon. And it's going to be based during the Watergate era. And it involves a woman who used to be my girlfriend in high school and then goes on to become a U.S. senator, kind of a Sam Baker character during the Watergate era. And she comes home to visit and ends up dead. And so this little town newspaper editor who always thought he could go somewhere else and felt like he never got any respect from all these big time journalists gradually begins to unravel the murder on the pages of his own newspaper, and while doing so becomes famous and becomes kind of delirious with this famousness. But with every story, he implicates himself a little more. So that's kind of where it's going to head.
Thank you for that question out there. I'm looking to see if, let's see, I think we've covered everything. Well, there's no way to cover everything with you, Joe. It's been, you've been around the world, really around the world now with a lot of it. You know, we both did the same thing. We traveled with the governor.
Mm-hmm.
But you also still are so very connected with your roots and where you come from and what effect that's had on your career. I was so privileged to be sent down to the Columbus Dispatch. I really didn't read that much state government and politics. I was pretty new to Ohio. When they offered me the job, I said, I don't even know who the Secretary of State is. And they said, well, you'll figure that out. But what they didn't tell me was that I would come down here to work with, you know, really the best in the business, one of the best and the best in the business. And, you know, you say you weren't much of a boss, but you were a great mentor. And you taught me so much. And having the regard that you had from all kinds of professionals in the business, in the journalism business, and also in politics and in state government, you know, here in Columbus and nationally at a certain level, you've been named one of the 8 best political journalists in the country, you know, reflected well on me. And it didn't just reflect on me, but it helped me. And I kind of basked in that for a while, but then I also learned from it. And I just want to say thanks to you for being such a great mentor and helping me get started in the business in a way that I don't really think almost anyone else could have. We became great friends. And before that, you were a great mentor, and I appreciate it.
Are you trying to make me cry?
Yes.
Well, you know how I feel about you. And, you know, it's just been a wonderful relationship, and you're a great journalist. And with this show, I think you've found your calling, because it's
second calling.
Yeah, second calling. We did great work at the Blade Bureau and had a heck of a lot of fun.
The best stories have not been told and will not be told on the air,
right.
But they're out there. Joe Hallett, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks
so much
for doing this, Ann. It's really too kind.
Best wishes for every success in the future. Joe Hallett, senior editor at the Columbus Dispatch, veteran Ohio political journalist. He's retiring by next week sometime, so we wish him all the best. Thanks so much for all your calls and comments. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.